Appreciate you listening every week to Bible Crossfire. This is Patrick Donahue. I wanted to start with Romans 10:13. We were talking about that last week. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Sounds like to me you got to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. I mean, it's pretty clear. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. A lot of people, I think, a lot of believers are not even really sure what that means. How can you call upon the name of the Lord to be saved if you don't even know what it means to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved? So let's talk about it, what it means. Verse 14, though, says this at the beginning. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Did you notice? You got to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved, verse 13. But verse 14 says you can't call upon him unless you believe first. Now, there's absolute conclusive proof there then that salvation does not occur at the point of faith, by faith only. Because you got to believe first, then you call upon the name of the Lord, and you're not saved until you call upon the name of the Lord. You're not saved until you do something, call upon the name of the Lord, which occurs after faith. You get that? Verse 14 says you cannot call upon the name of the Lord unless you believe first. And you have to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. Therefore, you're not saved when you believe. You believe, then you call upon the name of the Lord, then you're saved. Yet we have a lot of churches teaching you're saved at the point of faith. You're saved by faith only. This passage clearly says no. What does it mean to call upon the name of the Lord? Some might assume that means pray to God and ask him to save you, but that's not really what it's talking about here. Let me illustrate with three Old Testament illustrations. Numbers 21, 4 through 9. Many of you may remember the story where the Israelites murmured. God sends poisonous snakes to punish them for their murmuring and complaining. They ask for help. God tells Moses to put up a bronze serpent up on a pole, and whoever looks at the bronze serpent up on the pole will be healed of their snake bites. At that point, suppose you're one of the Israelites. At the point where God has said, whoever looks upon the bronze serpent up on the pole, how would you call upon God? How would you ask God to heal you of the snake bite? Well, you wouldn't pray to God and say, God, please heal me of the snake bite, because theoretically, if God answered back, he would say, what are you talking about? I've already told you what to do to be healed of your snake bite. Look at the bronze serpent up on the pole. So at that point, once God has said, if you'll look at the bronze serpent up on the pole, I'll heal you of the snake bite. Once he has said that, then the way you would call upon him, the way you would ask him to heal you of the snake bite is not a verbally through a prayer. It would be by looking at the bronze serpent up on the pole. If God has said, I'll give you a blessing B if you'll do A, then the way you ask him for the blessing B is by doing A. God said here, if you look at the bronze serpent up on a pole, I'll heal you of your snake bite. Then the way you call upon him, the way you ask him to heal you of the snake bite, is by doing what he said to do to be healed of the snake bite. Look at the bronze serpent up on the pole. How about the illustration of Naaman in 2 Kings 5? Naaman had leprosy. Elisha says, go dip in the Jordan River 7 times. You'll be cleansed of your leprosy. At that point, how would Naaman call upon God, ask God to heal him of his leprosy? It wouldn't be verbally in a prayer. Theoretically, if he says, God, heal me of my leprosy, then God would reply back, I've already told you what to do to be healed of your leprosy, cleansed of your leprosy. Do what I said to do to be cleansed of your leprosy. So the way at that point Naaman would call upon God to heal him of his leprosy, to cleanse him of his leprosy, is not verbally through a prayer, but by doing what God said to do to be cleansed of his leprosy, going down and dipping 7 times in the Jordan River. You see how you call upon God to give you a blessing B by doing what he said to do A in order to get that blessing B. Third illustration, the walls of Jericho in Joshua 6. By the way, Naaman is 2 Kings 5, 9 through 14. Joshua 6, 2 through 5, the Israelites were told by God to walk around the walls of Jericho 13 times in 7 days and God would knock the walls down. Now, at that point, how would the Israelites call upon God, ask God to knock the walls down? Well, again, not by asking him verbally in a prayer, because theoretically, if they did that, God would just reply back, I've already told you what to do to be for me to knock the walls down, walk around those walls once a day for 6 days, seven times on the seventh day, shout and blow the trumpets, and I'll knock the walls down. So at that point, then the way the Israelites would call upon God, ask God to knock the walls down, is not by asking him verbally in a prayer, but by doing what he said to do for him to knock the walls down, to walk around those walls 13 times in 7 days. That's how they would call upon God, to knock the walls down. And when they walked, that was calling upon him to do it, and he did it. He knocked the walls down. Now, let's apply these three illustrations to what we're talking about in Romans 10, 13, calling upon the name of the Lord to be saved, something much more important, spiritual salvation. How do you call upon God to be saved? It's not by verbally asking him to save you. He's already told you what to do to be saved. The way you call upon God, the way you ask God to save you, is by doing what he said to do to be saved. And when you do what God said to do to be saved, then you are calling upon him to save you. Calling upon the name of the Lord is to be saved, is doing what God said to do to be saved. For example, Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Since Jesus has said that, how would you call upon God? How would you ask God to save you? Well, not by asking him to save you in a prayer, because he's just theoretically, he's going to respond back, "I've already told you what to do to be saved. Believe and be baptized and I'll save you." So the way you ask God to save you, the way you call upon God to save you, is by believing and being baptized, because that's what Jesus said to do. He said, if you'll believe and be baptized, you'll be saved. So the way you call upon God, the way you call upon the name of the Lord to be saved, is by believing and being baptized. Let me prove that. In Acts chapter 22, 16, you'll remember that Saul of Tarsus was a zealous Jew, so zealous he was killing Christians. Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus supernaturally. You read Acts 9, Acts 22, Acts 26. Paul believed on Jesus on the road to Damascus. But he's not saved at that point, because at least 3 days later, Ananias tells him what I'm about to read in Acts 22, 16. He says, "And now why tarriest thou?" In the south we'd say, "What you waiting on? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." So how did Paul, the apostle, call upon God to wash away his sins? Now, he had already believed. Remember, Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved from his sins." So how would Paul call upon God to save him from his sins? He's already believed, so the way he'd call upon God to save him from his sins is by being baptized. Isn't that exactly what we read? The blood of Christ didn't wash away Paul's sins when he believed on the road to Damascus. 3 days later, he's being told to be baptized to get his sins washed away. We know by the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ would wash away his sins when he's baptized. It says to rise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. You see how calling on the name of the Lord is equated with baptism? Because Jesus has said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Paul's already believed, so how would he call upon God for salvation? By finishing what Jesus told him to do. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved," Mark 16, 16. So the way Paul the apostle would call upon God to be saved is by doing what God said to do to be saved. Believe and be baptized. And that's what he did. He wasn't saved when he'd only completed part of it. He wasn't saved when he believed. He was saved from his sins, according to Acts 22, 16, when he was baptized. "Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." The way he called upon the name of the Lord to be saved from his sins is by being baptized, because that's what Jesus said to do to be saved from your sins. Everybody understand that? If you have a Bible question or comment, I should have mentioned this earlier. Call, the number to call, the lines are wide open, is 877-655-6755. The number to call if you have a Bible question or comment, 877-655-6755. What we're learning here is, and this calling upon the name of the Lord to be saved is mentioned in Romans 10:13, Acts 22:16, and we're about to talk about Acts 2:21. We're learning that the way you call upon the name of the Lord to be saved is by doing what God said to do to be saved. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." So the way you call upon God to save you is by believing and being baptized. That seems pretty simple. It's not that complicated. People want to make it complicated. false teachers want to make it complicated. Now let's go to the third place that calling upon the name of the Lord is mentioned. In Acts 2:21, what we think of as the first gospel sermon, down in the kind of in the middle of the sermon, at least the way it's recorded, Peter said, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So Peter's definitely saying you got to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. Well, what does that mean? Well, he finishes on out the sermon in verse 38. He tells believers in verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So in 22:21, he's saying to be saved from your sins, you call upon the name of the Lord. In verse 38, he's telling believers to be saved from your sins, you repent and be baptized. Is there a contradiction or is one detailing the other? I think the latter is true. Verse 38 is detailing verse 21. 21 is saying you got to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. But how do you call upon the name of the Lord? 38 is saying the way you call upon the name of the Lord is by repenting and being baptized. Believers are told to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. Most churches, a lot of churches teach, no, you don't have to be baptized to be saved. You're saved at the moment you believe. You get the remission of sins or the forgiveness of sins the moment you accept Christ as your personal Savior, the moment you believe and you're baptized later. But we saw that Paul, the apostle, believed on the road to Damascus, and at least 3 days later, Acts 22:16, he's told to be baptized to get his sins washed away. We're all agreed they're going to be washed away by the blood of Christ. The power's not in the water. It's not baptism that's washing away the sins per se. It's the blood of Christ washed away Paul's sins when he was baptized. That's how Paul called upon the name of the Lord, by being baptized. Same thing in Acts 2. Call upon the name of the Lord and you'll be saved, verse 21. How do you do that, Peter? Well, he explains in verse 38. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. So the way that you're forgiven or saved from your sins is by repenting and being baptized. And when you do that, that's the way you call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. As we illustrated with the poisonous snakes in Numbers 21, Naaman and his leprosy in 2 Kings 5, the walls of Jericho following in Joshua 6, the way you call upon God to give you a blessing, B, is by doing what he said to do, A, in order to get that blessing. Jesus has said, if you'll believe and be baptized, you'll get the blessing of salvation. That being true, the way you call upon God, Jesus, to save you from your sins is by believing and being baptized. If you have a Bible question or comment, the number to call is 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755 is the number to call if you'd like to get on the air and ask your Bible question. Now let me ask you this. Let's go back to verse 38 of Acts 2. Peter's talking to believers there. Now, according to a lot of churches, he would have already been saved. The people would have already been saved. They're already believers, but not according to Peter. He's talking to believers. They'd already believed what he had taught them about Christ. He tells them to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Have you ever done that? Have you ever repented and been baptized for the remission of sins? Now, there's people out there, a lot of people have been immersed as believers, but have you ever been immersed for the remission of sins? In other words, in order to get the remission of sins. Or did you think that you had already been saved from your sins and then you got your baptism was scheduled for like 2 weeks later? If that's the case, you didn't get baptized for the remission of sins because you thought you already had the remission of sins 2 weeks before you were baptized. This is a requirement. You have to be baptized for the remission of sins. That's the reason you have to be baptized. If you thought you were saved before you were baptized, as a number of churches teach, then when you got baptized, it wasn't for the remission of sins, and you've never met this requirement. You've never been baptized for the remission of sins. Again, if you have a Bible question or comment, the number to call is 877-655-6755. The lines are wide open. If you have a Bible question or comment, the number to call is 877-655-6755. You know, another equivalent to calling upon the name of the Lord is obeying the gospel. Let's go back to Romans 10 and we'll see that. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But then we get down to verse 16. It says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. what I think the point here of this narrative is, you have to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved, but not everybody's done that. But he doesn't say not everybody's called upon the name of the Lord. He says not everybody's obeyed the gospel. He's using those two phrases interchangeably. Calling upon the name of the Lord and obeying the gospel are the same thing. And obeying the gospel is necessary to salvation. We should have known that because calling upon the name of the Lord is necessary to salvation, Romans 10:13. And if obeying the gospel is equivalent to calling upon the name of the Lord, then obeying the gospel is going to be equivalent. It's going to be necessary to salvation. Let me read 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8. This is talking about God. It says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power? Verse 9. God is going to take flaming fire vengeance on people who do not know him and that do not obey the gospel. Now, a lot of churches teach that all you have to do is know God, know Jesus Christ, believe in Christ, and you're going to be saved. But this says you got to know him and obey the gospel. What do you do to obey the gospel? Well, isn't that what we've been talking about? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, Mark 16:16. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. That's how you obey the gospel. That's how you call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. They're equivalent phrases. But a lot of people know Jesus Christ, believe in Christ, but they've never obeyed the gospel. They've never called upon the name of the Lord to be saved. Remember, calling upon the name of the Lord to be saved is not asking God to save you verbally in a prayer. We've already proven that. Acts 22:16 shows that the way you call upon the name of the Lord to be saved is by doing what the Lord said to do to be saved. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's why Paul, it said that Paul called upon the name of the Lord when he was baptized and his sins were washed away. Again, if you have a Bible question or comment, the number to call is 877-655-6755. We have to obey the gospel to be saved. How do you obey the gospel? Well, let me talk about a possibility from Romans chapter 6. If you have your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 6, because it's a little confusing. How do you obey the gospel? We learned from 1 Corinthians 15 that the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. But how do you obey those are facts to be believed. How do you obey that? Well, notice Romans 6:17 says, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. So it's not just that we obey the doctrine, it's that we obey the form of doctrine, Romans 6:17. What would the form of doctrine be? Well, look back up earlier in the chapter. Romans 6:3-5 is talking about baptism. Verse 3 says you're baptized into Jesus Christ, you're baptized into his death. Verse 4 says you're buried with him by baptism. And then verse 5 says, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. What is that saying? Well, if you take that along with Colossians 2:11-13, it's saying that baptism is a form or a likeness or a picture of the burial and resurrection of Christ. Sprinkling wouldn't be a picture or a likeness of it, but immersion would. If baptism is immersion, and it is, when a person goes down into the water, it looks like the burial of Christ. And when a person comes up out of the water, it's a likeness, a picture. Likeness is the King James word for it. Looks like the resurrection of Christ. So when a person gets baptized, he's going through a form of the burial and resurrection of Christ. He goes down in the water and comes back out. So when it says in Romans 6:17, you obey that form of doctrine could be talking about water baptism, because obeying the gospel is the burial, death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. How do you obey that? By going through obeying baptism, which is a form of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It looks like it. You see that? Anyway, may not be correct about that. Maybe I could be incorrect about that. But what I do know in Romans 6:3, it says you're baptized into Jesus Christ. So until you get baptized, you're not in Christ. You're not in fellowship with Christ. You're not in a saved relationship with Christ. You're baptized into Christ is what Romans 6 verse 3 says. You see some similar terminology in Galatians 3, 26 and 27. It says, "For you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." So there's no doubt we become a child of God by faith. It's not by birth anymore. Not just by being a descendant of Abraham or Jacob. You're a child of God by faith. And then verse 27 in Galatians 3 begins with this little word "for," which means to introduce the reason. The reason that you're a child of God by faith is because you've been baptized into Christ. You see that? The way you became a child of God by faith was by being baptized into Christ. And the only way you can get into Christ, according to this verse, is by being baptized into Christ. Which would mean that until you're baptized, you're not in a saved relationship with Christ. We've looked at three passages then, or four, that teach you got to be baptized to be saved. We mentioned in the last 20 minutes, Jesus said, Mark 16:16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." That proves you got to be baptized to be saved. Acts 2:38, Peter told believers, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins." That proves you got to be baptized to get the remission or forgiveness of sin. Acts 22:16, Saul of Tarsus, Paul the apostle, was told to arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. That proves that in baptism, you're calling upon God to save you and that you have to be baptized to get your sins washed away by the blood of Christ. And then Romans 6:3 says you're baptized into Christ, which means until you get baptized, you're not in Christ. You're outside of Christ. Same thing in Galatians 3:27, you're baptized into Christ. Until you are baptized, then you're outside of Christ. And it Romans 3:26 and 27 is saying the way that you become a child of God by faith is by being baptized into Christ. Another passage I'd like you to consider along these lines is 1 Peter 3:20 and 21. 1 Peter 3:20 and 21 says, well, let's just, 20, "which sometime were disobedient when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water." That's talking about in the Old Testament, Noah's family, Noah, his wife, 3 sons, 3 daughters-in-law were saved. It's talking about a physical salvation through the water. They didn't drown. Then verse 21 says, "The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." The New King James says the antitype. The type is Noah and his family being saved physically through the water. They didn't drown. The antitype is we're saved spiritually through something that involves water, water baptism. It says baptism doth also now save us. There's no chance God would say baptism saves us if you didn't have to be baptized to be saved. That would be totally confusing. And so we've seen at least 5 passages, possibly 6. They all conclusively prove you got to be baptized to be saved. Now, it's not saying here that baptism is the earning basis or grounds of our salvation. No. The death, the blood of Christ, is the grounds of our salvation. That's the thing that does the trick. When it says baptism saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it's saying that baptism is a condition you have to meet to be saved by the death of Christ. Same thing as Mark 16:16 is saying, Acts 2:30, when Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Same thing Acts 2:38 is saying when Peter said, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins." Same thing Saul was told, "Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." And then we see the same thing in 1 Peter 3:21. Baptism, like faith, is a condition you have to meet in order to be saved by the death of Christ. That's part of calling upon the name of the Lord to be saved. You have to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved, Romans 10:13, Acts 2:21, and the Bible explains what that means. It's equated in Acts 2 with repenting and being baptized for the remission of sins. The website for this program, BibleCrossfire.com, love for you to go there. You can ask me questions over email at that site. You can listen to old programs, sign up for a free Bible correspondence course. That's BibleCrossfire.com. Go to that website all throughout the week to listen to previous programs. If you would like to have a free 1-hour phone Bible study with me, I'm available. We can do it sometime at your convenience. Call or text me. at 256-682-9753.